happy Sabbath. Now, I know some of you may be wondering, what happened to Pastor Wego? Well, the Berean Church have a Hispanic ministry. And our Hispanic ministry has been running an evangelistic meeting in the homes of one of our members. And this morning, they are having a baptism over at the home in Denham Springs. And they asked Pastor Wegard to be there. So, yes, he went there. But he wanted me to let you know that he is praying for us, praying that the Holy Spirit be into our midst, and he will miss us this morning. So he was just here for Sabbath school, so that's why you don't see him in here right now. Amen? Amen. Man, isn't it nice to look around and see all these visitors? Huh? Amen. And, you know, it's not important to me why you came. What's most important to me, you're here. And I'm so glad you chose to be here this morning to worship and fellowship with us. Amen? And I will go out on a limb and guarantee you that our members will do everything in their power to make you as comfortable and welcome as possible. If you need anything, just ask, and we will try our best to accommodate you. Amen? Is that all right? That's all right. That's all right. Well, we're going to get into the message because I know what we like. Get up, speak up, shut up. Amen? So here we go. I'm reading from Acts 4, verse 32. I'll read you here, Acts 4, 32. And the scripture says, "Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common." I'm going to speak a few minutes under the subject of the power of unity. The power of unity. Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, please continue to work on my mind and my heart as you have done all this week as I worked on this message, Lord. Hide me behind the shadow of the cross, Lord. Use me, mold me, shape me, Lord, and I will be careful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. In the worthy name of Jesus, I do ask and pray. Amen. 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 I pose a question to you this morning. Why are we here? Now, my question doesn't pertain to location. My question pertains to purpose. So maybe I should ask it another way. What is the purpose of the church? Or better yet, let's make it personal. What is the purpose of the Berean Seventh-day Adventist Church? How would you answer that? Because my question was prompted by a survey I read online earlier some time ago. A consultant for church growth posted the results of his survey he conducted, which revealed some startling facts about the mindset of today's Christian. This consultant surveyed the members of nearly 1,000 churches, asking them that very question: what is the purpose of the church? 89% of the members surveyed said that the purpose of the church was to attend to and care for their spiritual needs. 11% said that the primary purpose of the church is to win souls to Christ. However, when he surveyed the pastors of those same churches, asking them that same question, the results were almost the exact opposite of the members. 90% of the pastors said that the primary role of the church was to win souls for Christ. And 10% of the pastors said it was to care and attend to the spiritual needs of the members. So what that's telling us is that many of the members in the church think what the pastor's role is to keep the sheep that are already in the pen, keep them happy, Keep them amused. Keep them entertained so they don't leave the church. While most pastors believe their role is to win souls for Christ. And we wonder why today we have so much conflict, confusion, and stagnation in our churches. The thing we need to grasp here is this, beloved. Nothing exceeds or precedes purpose. Purpose is the starting point for every church. Man, it's quiet up in here. The starting point for every pastor, every member, every church. If we are to successfully carry out our God-given mandate. Now, you may be wondering, what are you talking about mandate? Well, it's right there in Matthew 28:18-20. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and do what? Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Now, that end of the world tells me that he didn't expect it to go away. That mandate is to be with us until he comes again. Huh? Until we acknowledge, until we accept, until we embrace that purpose, our spiritual foundation will at best be unstable and we will lack focus and direction. Why? Because if his purpose, God's purpose, is not our purpose, our spiritual experience will be all about us and not about him. When it comes to purpose, though, there's a lot we can learn from the believers of the early church. They understood their God-given purpose. They embraced their God-given purpose. The multitude of them, many, the congregation, the whole body, were of one heart and one soul. The question is, though, how did they get there? How did they get there? One, they were unified in purpose. They were able to do what they did because they had a common goal, a common objective, and that was to win the world for Christ. What's our purpose this morning? What's our purpose? The whole church was working toward that goal. They had a fundamental desire to be a one heart and one mind. Now, that don't mean all of us going to be in here and robots. Thinking alike, acting alike, liking all the same things. No, that's not even human. We're different. We have different tastes. We have different desires. But we can all have one common goal and work toward that goal. And as we work toward that goal, we will achieve the success. What is that old saying? A house that's divided will not stand. So I ask you this morning, is the house divided? See, they understood that Jesus didn't call them to a life of leisure. They were called to a life of service. They didn't have schisms in the church because they had one leader. And that was Jesus Christ. They had one purpose, and that was to win souls for Christ. What's our purpose this morning? See, what we see here in the early church is what true Christianity is all about. See, God gave us a divine glimpse in that early church of what he wants and expects his church to be. Yes. All ages, all backgrounds, all classes, no matter what your status in life is, we are individuals who are supposed to regard ourselves as brothers and sisters in Christ. We are all engrafted into the God family of God. God didn't put us here just to amuse ourselves. He didn't put us here to accumulate a whole lot of junk. He didn't put us here to be entertained and amused. We are to live. Christ died for us so we could live for him. How was your witness this week? How was your witness? Now, the multitude of those who believe were of one heart and one soul. Good news is we can get there too. We can experience and enjoy the same success that the early church did. But for that to happen, we got to come together. We got to have one common purpose. Now, I'm not saying, let me just clear this up. I'm not saying that the church shouldn't care for the members. We shouldn't attend to the spiritual needs and help out with the physical needs. Because everybody needs somebody sometime. We all get there. But that is not the primary purpose of the church. Christianity is about action. I know you heard that old saying, it's not a spectator sport. A spectator sport. But if you don't believe it, how you gonna live it? If we're divided, tell me this, how in the world do we think we're gonna get them out there to wanna come in here if we're not together? We got to commit to Christ. We got to be willing to fully commit our time, our talents, our gifts, our means, our abilities to his cause to finish this work. Do you really want to get away from here? Are you sick and tired of what's going on around you? I'm sick and tired of turning on the news and all I hear. You know, they said the evening news. And they do right to call it the evening news or the morning news and don't put no other adjective on it, because it's definitely not good news. If you ever notice, when the news starts, the only thing you hear about good is when they say good evening. After that, it's all downhill. I'm sick and tired of hearing black men being killed in the street by police. I'm sick and tired of hearing police being ambushed in the streets. The mother of that black child that got mowed down in the street, heart is hurting no more than that police officer's wife and kids who was killed over there on their own airline highway. I'm sick and tired of it. The question is, what are we going to do about it? People are going to Christless graves every day, and we are sitting on the solution to the problem. God has given us a great message, a perfect message. We're not perfect people. And I never could understand that. We're not perfect people, but yet everybody coming to church, we expect them to be perfect. There's a disconnect somewhere. There's a disconnect. When we embrace our God-given purpose, and that is to take the gospel to the world, to win souls for Christ, then we understand that people are not perfect. People are hurting. People got problems. That's way beyond our ability to solve. That's why we bring them to Christ. Christ say, if I be lifted up. If I be lifted up. Even if he don't take the burden away from you, he will give you what you need to get through it. There's some important things that people out there need to know, that we need to embrace and stop running away from. The early church did that. They became partners in Christ. That's how they remained steadfast in their purpose, in their precept, and in their practice, because their focus was not on themselves. Their focus was on Jesus Christ. And see, because they embraced the purpose, God rewarded them by filling them with the Holy Spirit. See, purpose is the power that drives us, it fuels us, it motivates us, it keeps us from giving up. Because, you know, a lot of times a lack of focus is the main cause of failure. Things start to getting a little rough and tough. Man, yeah, I don't need this. Tired of staying up here all night studying this stuff. Everybody else out there having a good time.
And I'm up in here with my face in this book. Enough of this. So I go hang out on the corner. No, no, no. You have to stay focused and committed. Talk to people that graduated from high school. Talk to people that graduated from college. Talk to people that's built something and accumulated something and accomplished something. And the first thing they will tell you, they stuck with it. They stuck with it. They will also tell you there were some tough times. There were many times they felt like giving up. It's no different in our Christian experience. Sometimes we sit up in here and we wonder, are these folk really Christians? We wonder. And sometimes you feel like getting up, walking out of there. But guess what? I didn't come in here for the members. I came in here for Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to let anyone run me out of here. You can take me off the front seat. I'm going to go on the back. But I'm not going to the door. I'm letting you know right now, I'm like a bad penny. I'm here to stay until God take me out of here. And that's the attitude we have to have. Here's the problem. Why can't we embrace our purpose? Think about something for a minute. We come to church every week. We sit next to each other. We listen to the same messages. We sing the same song. We get up and praise the Lord together. But what do we really know about each other? And my question is, how can we love someone that we don't know? See, you got to understand something. Being united is not unity. Or for example, if I took and tied the tails of two cats together, now you animal lovers don't hate me. I'm just using this for illustration. But if I took two cats and tied their tails together and hung them over a clothesline, they're united by the string. But they're going to fight and scratch and claw at each other trying to get away from there. They're united, but there's no unity there. Unity means we're all going in the same direction. See, all of us are different. We got different gifts. We got different talents. We got different abilities, different means. God hasn't blessed all of us in the same way. But what God has done is given each and every one of us the same exact calling. That is to live for Him, to win souls for Him. That is the first and foremost work of the church. And if we are not doing that, everything else we attempt to do is going to be flawed, defective, and imperfect. God is a jealous God. As much as God loves us, He is not going to allow you to put your agenda ahead of His. He's not going to do that. I don't care how you try to sum it up, how you try to squeeze it, manipulate it, how you strategize and plan. If God is not the priority of our existence, we are exercising in futility. The early church understood that. They understood that. See, and not only were they filled with the Holy Ghost, the power and favor of God was upon them. Acts 4:33 say, and the grace of God was upon all of them. Yeah, the apostles was out front, working the miracles and preaching and teaching. But the grace of God was upon all of them. Because as a body, collectively, they all had the same goal, the same mind, the same purpose, trying to accomplish the same exact thing, which was God's divine purpose in this world. God blessed all of them. You know, we like to define grace as unmerited favor. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm going to take it a little further. I'm going to use grace as an acronym. Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. We wouldn't have grace if we didn't have Christ. There would be no grace if Christ didn't do what he did. So it's God's riches at Christ's expense. But the problem is, we want to take God's riches and treat them like our riches. Huh? What I mean by that, we want to go and shove it up under the mattress or stick it in the coffee can or stuff it away in the bank and hold on to it for a rainy day. But God said, no, no, that ain't the way it works. I want you to take my riches and bring it out there to those who don't have any. Let them know about what I did for you. Let them know my purpose for this world. For God so loved the world. And I'm glad he said that, because if God would have said, for God so loved the church, we would feel justified in not doing what we're supposed to be doing. But he didn't say that. He said, for God so loved the world. See, there's power in unity. When people see the masses coming together, when they see a harmonious movement, a togetherness, a common purpose, they're drawn to that. They want to know what's going on. Why? Because that's not the norm. It's not the norm. For instance, I don't know if any of you watch any of the conventions. Republican convention, which I got to admit, I didn't watch that. Donald Trump just a little too crazy for me. I'm sorry. I'm not being prejudiced or anything like that, but I just can't take. You know, when the nuts go to run in the nut house, I'm looking for somewhere else to lay my hat. So, but I watched a little bit of the Democratic convention. Now, they were all supposed to be there for one purpose. But did you see what was going on up in there? Huh? A house couldn't be no more divided than what I saw there. So think about it as you looked at that, as you saw that, how some people feel when they look at the church and that's what they see. You want to tell me this is the word of God and y'all fussing and fighting over it? The Bible said, no, it don't really mean that. Well, that's your version. No, 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 no. God's word is God's word. See, now, there's nothing wrong with struggling and striving and having trouble coming up to the standard. That's human. The problem comes in when we reach up and grab the standard and try to pull it down to us. That's not human. That's devilish. God does not change. And it's going to work out and come out exactly as he said. We have to decide, is it about us or is it about him? I want to have a common purpose. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I want God's favor smiling upon me. How about you? How about you? You know, you read and ask about the day of Pentecost. Said that 3,000 souls, not 300, 3,000 souls were baptized in one day. Now, my mind works a little funny. It works a little different from most people. I don't know. It's got a thing of its own that goes off on these tangents sometimes. You know what I mean? I don't know if you can identify with that, but if you can't, just pray for me. But my mind works funny. When I read that, I said, and you know what popped into my head? I'm going to tell you exactly what popped into my head as I was reading that. And I've read that many times. I've heard it preached on many times. But when I read it this week, the thing that popped into my head was, how far do I have to go back into Berean's history to accumulate 3,000 souls? I said, do I have to go back the whole 75 years? Was it 5 years ago? Was it 10 years ago? I couldn't answer the question. And I'm telling you, a heavy burden just came over me. Because what God made me realize at that exact moment is that you haven't been doing what I've asked. Can you imagine what it would feel like to run an evangelistic meeting and have that many people respond to the call? I'll be honest with you, I can't. But I sure would like to find out how it feels. I sure would like to find out how it feels. Why? It wasn't about Peter's preaching. Peter didn't have any special gifts or something that any other pastor didn't have. Peter had the same thing that is available to us today. He had the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. And it was the Spirit that reached them people. It was the Spirit that brought them into the church. And we can do the same thing if we cooperate with him. But we got to do it his way, not our way. Not our way. I'm telling you, I did my homework. I went deep into this thing. And I can unequivocally guarantee you there's power in unity. If we all come together for that common purpose, committed, I'm going to take the words out of a page of Brother Elder Spear's book. Come what will or may, we will be successful in that endeavor, because God is going to fill us with his Holy Ghost. God is going to pour out his favor upon us. He's waiting on us. He's waiting on us. So I ask you today, only respond if you're sincere, because I'm going to tell you, as I prepared this message, excuse me, God did something to me. He gave me a change of mind and made me realize I need to redirect my focus. I've been focusing on the wrong thing. And again, like I said, my mind works funny, y'all. I'm sitting there thinking. There was times I was in church 2 hours and start to get a little bored, but I can watch a 3.5 hour football game. They calling too much at the church. They want too much. They want me to do this. They want me to do that, but I didn't miss one game of the NBA final. And I'm sure if you search down deep enough, you got some stories that you can compare to the same thing. And what it made me realize is, you know what? God is not going to let me or anyone else put him on the back burner. And all I can say is that he got through to me. And what I can say to you is that starting from this moment, I'm making myself a committee of one Now, I don't know if you want to join me or not. That's entirely up to you. I make an appeal for you to join, for us to embrace our God's given purpose and be about our Father's business. And if you truly want to do that, if you truly want to see this church grow, see this church do great things, and I know this church can do great things. I remember a time when my children was young, and my wife called me and said, look, I got to go back to work. You're going to have to take the children to the library to do their homework. I said, okay. So when I got home, made sure the kids ate, took them over there, and we up in there, they're getting their books, doing their homework, sitting at the table. And I noticed this guy just standing there watching. They still had their little uniforms on. And the guy walked over there. He said, man, you mind if I ask what school your kids go to? I said, the Berean Christian Academy. Oh, yeah, the Berean Seventh-day Adventist Church. He said, you're Adventist? I said, yes, I am. I said, oh, you? He said, no, I'm not. And then he proceeded to tell me more history about the church and the school and how it was known in the community. And he was telling me stuff I didn't know. And the good thing about it, everything he said to me was positive. Not one negative came out of his mouth. He went to spouting off names, Lou Thompson and Mabel Sterling and Womack Rucker. And he just, and I'm sitting there looking. I said, man, Lord, what a witness. What a witness. My question to you today is, what are they saying about us now? What are they saying about us now? Do they still know us like they knew them? My appeal, if you want to be about God's business, if you want to embrace our God-given purpose, then come up and we'll pray for you. I'm going to ask Elder Wilson to give us a prayer of dedication and consecration. Listen, we have to be serious about our relationship with the Lord. The worst thing we can do is convince ourselves we have time. Because we don't know how much time we have. If the recent past events, has told us anything, it has told us that any moment could be your last. But we can do positive and great things in those last moments. Jesus, on the last night of his life, facing certain death, still loved enough, still cared enough, still thought enough about his followers back then and all the way down to the end of the world to pray for them. And his prayer was, Father, I pray that as I am in you and you are in me, that they be in us as one. We don't know how much time we have left, none of us. But what we do know, we can make the most of it. Do you want to get about God's business? Do you want to rededicate, recommit your life to him and say, Lord, you know what? Your will is my will. That don't mean I won't make mistakes. That don't mean I'm going to have to get on my knees and in my closet, Lord, and plead with you over and over to take these little silly sins away from me that just seems to keep on overwhelming me. But guess what? Lord, if you give me the power of your Holy Ghost, all things are possible. I can overcome this world. Because Jesus has already done it for me. And the next time, Lord, I hear the question, what is the purpose of your church? I can stand back and say, to win the world for Christ, to live for Christ, so we can all go home and spend eternity in glory. If that's your determination, if that's your commitment, you can join us or you can just stand right where you are as Elder Wilson pray a prayer of dedication and consecration.